tonight that I ain't been preaching long enough, and I ain't been preaching hard enough. But that was still a better introduction than I got at a church I preached at one time, where he got up and scripture he read before I came into the pulpit, where he talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. And I wasn't too sure about that round. But you know, my problem is I don't usually end up going anywhere where they like to have church.
Yeah.
You know, that's why everything's so different here. Because most places I go, they just in and out, you know. I mean, I've had them turn the lights out on me. I'm not joking. I'm not making that up. I was preaching up around Buckhannon one time and got ready. They were starting a service, and the minister there, person in charge, whatever, came to me and said, "Now, we need to be finished and ready to go out the door at such and such a time." And I said, "Well, we should have started a half hour ago then." You know, you can't have church like that. I want to share this with you. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on tonight. But that song about that little boy's lunch.
Yeah.
Five loaves and two fishes.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I get mixed up and he's got five fish and two loaves, you know. I get confused. But did you ever stop to think the Lord took those fives and twos and he blessed everybody around?
Yeah.
Did you ever stop to think that you're made up out of fives and twos? Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each foot, five senses, two ears, two eyes, two feet, two hands. If you and I would give our fives and twos to the Lord like that little boy and let him take them and bless them and break them, he could feed a lot of people.
Amen. That's good.
He could feed a lot of people that's starving to death. They're starving to death. Them guys up there in the sound booth been bugging me all week because I haven't been giving my sermons a title. And but the title tonight is "He's a God of Miracles." Well, if I was worth 2 cents, you wouldn't have to ask me for a title. You'd figure it out from what I preached on. You know, but I do like titles. I've told you this before. I know I have, but I like to know what I'm preaching about, and I like for you to know what I'm preaching about. And sometimes I just forget. I forget a lot of things. And in the book of Jeremiah, I'm not going to forget this. Jeremiah chapter 32, one verse, and that is verse number 27. I have trouble reading sometimes because of my eye, but it's not a long verse. You got it? There, Jeremiah 32:27. All right. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for me? Well, you know, there never was a day of miracles. There's always been a God of miracles. But there never was just a day of miracles. He's still a miracle-working God. Just as much as, I mean, they may not be recorded in this book, but he's still doing miracles every day. You know, I was sitting there a while ago and I thought about that old song about "the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me." I sat there and I thought about these pews in this church. and all the different places, and everybody's got their favorite place to sit. But I just thought, you know, if these pews could just talk and tell about some of the miracles that have happened in these pews.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
People whose lives have been changed. People whose eternity has been changed. People whose want-tos have been changed. People whose marriages have been changed. People whose children have been changed. Husbands have been changed. Wives have been changed. He's a God of miracles, my friend. And He still delights in doing miracles. Now, we like all those fancy, showy miracles, you know, but God works in mysterious ways, doesn't He? And sometimes in that just that still, small voice that He speaks to us and He gets our attention. But I sat this afternoon and I began to think, just back through the Old Testament and just going to talk a little bit tonight about it, that He's a God of miracles. And the first one I thought about was Sarah. And Abraham had promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And Abraham had got it to be 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And she had laughed at God.
Right.
Yeah. You ever laugh at God? It doesn't pay to laugh at God. God gets the last laugh.
Yes.
I believe God does laugh sometimes. He laughs at some of our shenanigans. He laughs at some of our grand ideas, some of our, things, the way we think we're going to handle things. But I thought, you know, what a miracle it was for a 90-year-old woman not only to have a baby, but to give that baby suck.
Yeah.
God, is there anything too hard for God? Absolutely not, you know. Then I thought about Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and God telling Moses, He said, I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, I mean, if you haven't really thought about that, the kind of predicament that put Moses in, and then God ended up sending all the plagues and all that, and finally Pharaoh kicked him out. He didn't want anything else to do with him because he realized that their God was a God of miracles. That He was all powerful. And so He sent them on their way, and then He decided He'd go get them. Then Pharaoh decided he'd bring them back. And so the Egyptian army took off after the children of Israel. They came up to the Red Sea. And you know what Moses thought and what the children of Israel thought. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? God just told Moses, He said, just take your rod and hold it out over the water. And the waters will roll back and they crossed over on dry ground. When they got to the other side, He told Moses, He said, just take your rod and hold it back over the water. And the water came back in. He said, you won't see Pharaoh anymore. You won't see his army anymore. They're finished. They're done. They're over with. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, He's a God of miracles. I bank my preaching time this week, okay? I've been banking it all week. So we're going to use up part of it tonight, all right? I thought about little old David going out there in the Valley of Elah. He'd fought a bear, he'd fought a lion and all that, but he had never seen somebody like old Goliath. Went out there I almost preached on David and Goliath this week, but I didn't. But I'm not saying I won't. I may preach on it tomorrow night. Who knows? But anyhow, he goes out there, and the amazing thing to me about that story is just simply this. When David started out in the valley to confront Goliath, he didn't even have a rock for his sling.
Right.
That's right.
Now, brother, that's faith.
Yes, it is.
You know, we want everything in writing and we want everything guaranteed before we attempt anything.
Yeah.
But that old David, they said he had his staff in one hand and his sling in the other. You know what? You know what that tells me? It tells me you ought to keep both hands full for God.
Yeah, that's good.
Keep both hands full for God. Started out across that valley and got down to the stream. Well, I'll just preach a little bit on David while I'm here, all right? I'll use some of that bank preaching time, all right? And so he starts down for that stream and he gets down to the stream and lo and behold, he stops and he looks in the water and I can just see it in my sanctified imagination. I got a sanctified imagination, by the way. And I can see them rocks there, and that water was just as clear and clean and crystal clear. And they looked down, and there laid five stones.
Oh,
Five stones. And so he bent down and he picked up those five stones, and it says he put them in his little scrip, little bag that he had on his side. And he chose him out five stones. Let me tell you a few things about that, okay? Number one, if you're going to be used of God, you've got to choose to be used. You've got to choose. I'm going to preach three or four sermons tonight. You got to choose to be used, all right? Number two, you got to be clean. He took them out of the brook. They wasn't covered with mud. They wasn't covered with filth. They wasn't covered with trash. They had to be clean. Number three, they had to be smooth. You can't throw a rough rock. It won't go straight. I used to run around with a guy. I went to school with a guy that he was pretty good with the sling. And one thing about the rocks he would pick up is they were always smooth rocks. May not be perfectly round, but they didn't have any sharp edges on them. One of the reasons that God can't use a lot of Christians, they got too many rough edges on them. And what it is if it's for a rock to be smooth, it has to be washed down, and it has to be tumbled, and it has to be ground on by this or that. That's the troubles and the trials of life that we go through. God's just polishing us up. He's just getting us ready to be used. Then he went out and he took those stones and you know what he did, and he slung one and he hit old Goliath in the forehead. Now, I want to tell you something. You preachers probably know this, but maybe everybody else doesn't know it. He slung that. You ever? If I were to set this bottle of water up here and take a rock and throw it and hit that bottle of water, where would it go? What would it do? It would go that way, wouldn't it? But the Bible says that when David flung that rock and hit Goliath in his forehead, that he fell forward. You know why he fell forward? Anybody ever watch NCIS? You ever watch Gibbs smack the dozo in the back of the head? That's what God did to Goliath that day. Smacked him in the back of the head, and down he went. He fell forward. He didn't fall against the laws of nature, against the laws of science. That's the God. He's a God of miracles, friend. He's a God of miracles. If you want to be used of God, choose to be used. Be clean. Be smooth. Let God work the rough edges off of you. Let Him do a few things in your life, and let Him get the glory from it. Then I thought about old Joshua down there around Jericho, and you know, big city, big walls, fortified, ready to withstand everything. Any kind of bombardment that would come against them, anything else. And Joshua, God, you know what we're going to do? And God said, well, just march around the walls. Just walk around them. Just walk. Just walk. You know, sometimes that's all God wants you to do. Just be obedient. Just do what He says. Whether it makes sense to you or not, doesn't make a bit of difference. Yeah, you know, as long as God tells you to do it, just do it. And so Joshua did, and everybody knows, you know, that the walls fell down. That's how God works. And then poor old Job, talk about a miracle working God. And Job, you know, everybody came against Job. He lost everything he had. Again, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but he lost his children. He lost everything that he had. But God restored it to him twofold. Gave him back twice. Hey, that takes a miracle, doesn't it? He remained faithful through it all, and God blessed him. God worked a miracle. And then again, over there in Joshua and his group of people, they were in a big battle, and they hadn't finished with the battle yet. And Joshua, now listen to this, Joshua commanded the sun to stand still.
Yeah, right.
And you know what happened? God honored his command.
Yes, amen.
I mean, read it for yourself. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua is the one commanded the moon and the sun to stand still. And God let him get by with it. He let him get by with it. And the sun stood still. I'm assuming for 24 hours. I don't know. I can't quite understand that whole passage, but it was a miracle nonetheless. Oh, Elijah got discouraged. He ended up going down there to the brook Cherith, and God sent some ravens to feed him. He was starving. You know, raven, that's not in the nature of a raven. A raven's a scavenger bird. Raven's going to eat whatever it can find. It ain't going to take it and give it to somebody else. But my God's a miracle-working God.
Amen.
And then you can get over there in the old book of Daniel. And there's three Hebrew children. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know why. I can never remember their real names. But you know what? Those were heathen names. But that's what we use all the time.
Right.
Yeah. That's what we've used, Azariah, and I don't know, you all, somebody can straighten me up after church, okay? What their real names were, because I can't remember. But anyway, they're going to just be obedient to whatever God wanted them to do. And so the king told them, well, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace, and they did. And you all know the story. They came out unscathed. There was four walking around in the furnace, and they said, and the fourth is likened to the form of the Son of God. And so they came out without being singed, without being burnt, without even the smell of smoke on them. That's a miracle working God.
Yes, sir.
And then you get on over in the book of Daniel and you'll find Daniel. Daniel, they threatened Daniel. They hated Daniel. And the scribes got together and the people, the muckety-mucks, I call them, they got together and they said, well, we don't like Daniel. We don't like what he's doing. So let's write a law and we'll take it to King Darius and let Darius sign it, and once he signs it, he can't take it back. Once he puts his seal and signature on it, it's set in stone, and let him make a law that you can't worship anybody or anything for 30 days except what they tell you to worship, the idol that they had. So they did, and they went down to the king, and king wasn't too smart, I don't guess, and he agreed to there for 30 days that nobody could worship anything else, and so the decree was passed and they noised it throughout the land, and old Daniel, it didn't make a bit of difference to him. He went back upstairs to his room, opened the windows and prayed toward Jerusalem and just three times a day, just like he was always doing, and boy, the muckety-mucks, they were happy, and they went running to King Darius and they said, you know, Daniel's done broke the law. You've got to do what you said. You've got to throw him in the lion's den. And so they threw him in the lion's den. The night passed and the next morning came, and I want to read this to you out of the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 verse 20. And the Bible says that when the king Darius, however you want to pronounce it, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Hey, my God can do anything. Is there anything too hard for him? Just like I said the other day, I believe old Daniel went down into the lion's den. I believe one of them old flea-bitten lions laid down, and Daniel laid down and laid his head up on his flank, went to sleep and used him for a pillow that night. But the king, the king really loved Daniel. He actually did. And he was converted because of what happened with Daniel and the lion's den. He served the Lord after that. He told him, he said, your God is the God, the true God. But anyhow, Daniel came out of the lion's den. My God's a miracle working God. He really is. Let's jump over in the New Testament just a little bit. Get over in the New Testament and the disciples and Jesus, they're going across the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up and the disciples all get excited because Jesus is sleeping in the hinder part of the ship, and they go wake him up and he comes forth and he stands on the deck and he just says, peace be still.
Amen.
Just peace be still. You know what? In some of the greatest storms of your life, if you just be quiet and let God say, peace be still. He's still a miracle working God. He still is. Just think about it. Think about it. Then you get on over after that sea. They cross the sea, and the Bible says, and they come back to the other side. And when they get back to the other side, there's a crazy man on the shore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's plumb bonkers. You can't put fetters on him. You can't put chains on him. He can break anything. I mean, he's got the power of the devil at his disposal. And he's just crazy as a bedbug, as the old saying is. until he meets Jesus.
Right.
My God's a miracle working God. He took that demoniac, he cast all those demons into that herd of pigs. Pigs had more sense than that man had. They went down and drowned themselves in the ocean. And then the next time you see that demoniac of Gadarene, he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. And then he becomes a missionary. And he goes to Decapolis and he begins to tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. Hey, I tell you something, we ought to spread the good news of what a great God we serve and what a miracle working God He is, that demoniac. And then you just read over a few verses. This is in chapters 4 and 5 out of the book of Mark. Go home, check me out, read it for yourself. In chapter 5, then Jairus comes along. And Jairus says, oh, Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. He said, my little girl, she's 12 years old and she's dying.
Yeah.
She's dying, and Jesus, will you go and will you take care of her? Will you meet her needs? I don't know that Jesus answered, but they started on the way, and while they're on the way, walking down through town, down Main Street, and a whole bunch of people all around, and then this woman comes out of nowhere, and comes sneaking up behind Jesus. And she reaches out and just touches his garment.
Yeah.
And Jesus stopped.
Uh-huh.
And he said, who touched me?
Yeah.
Now I want you to take note, they didn't touch him.
Right.
They touched his garment.
Right.
But he said, power had gone out of him.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Power had gone out of him. Now the word power there is the same word that is translated most often in the New Testament as saved. It's the same root word from which we get our word dynamite and dynamic.
Yeah.
Same word. Jesus stopped. Now picture this with me. Use your sanctified imagination. Here's Jairus. My little girl's dying. What are you doing stopping here?
Yeah.
You need to hurry.
Yeah.
I'm more important than what's going on here. I'm a ruler and I'm in a high position and I think I am somebody. I got news for you. If you think you are somebody, you got another thing coming. Another thing coming.
Yeah.
But Jesus stopped and the whole. Hey, do you realize what a mess this woman was in?
Yeah.
This little girl was 12 years old, 12 years living, and this woman was 12 years dying.
Yeah, think about that.
One of them was 12 years living, one of them was 12 years dying.
Right.
12 years, an issue of blood.
Yeah.
12 years, everybody shunned her.
Yeah.
12 years, wouldn't nobody get close to her.
Yeah.
12 years, she wasn't allowed to go to church.
Yeah.
12 years she couldn't touch anybody.
Yeah.
Now, how would you like to go just 12 months and not touch another soul or have another soul touch you?
Yeah.
Now, after she touched Jesus and he stopped and she came up and she fell at his feet, the Bible says, if I'm not mistaken, and you know why? Because she was scared to death.
Yeah. Right.
She had defiled him.
Yeah.
She had defiled him because she had an issue of blood, and a woman with an issue of blood couldn't touch anybody. Anybody that she touched was defiled for 24 hours, and she was afraid that Jesus was going to chastise her. She was afraid that he was going to get on to her and all that. Can you imagine just what she had? And the Bible says that she suffered for 12 years. She suffered religiously. She suffered socially. She suffered emotionally. And just about any way that you can imagine. All for 12 years. Right up to the very instant that Jesus did a miracle in her life. Oh, my God, the miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. Just in an instant, He can change your life. In an instant, He can make a new creature out of you. In an instant, He can turn everything around. What you used to think was up will now be down. What you used to think was down, they'll now be up. Ah, this poor old woman, you know, she had so much going on in her life, so many things that needed to be done, so many things that she was lacking, and Jesus took care of every last one of them. Every last one of them. I remember reading a story talking about how good Jesus is, and God just brings this to my remembrance for some reason. And because He did, I'm going to share it with you. This grandpa came in, he had a grandson, and the grandson was in his playpen, and the grandpa went into the room where the baby was, the grandbaby was, and the grandbaby was crying, and he was saying, "Papa out! Papa out!" And so Papa went over to the pen and reached down to get the baby, the grandbaby, up out of the pen. And about that time, the mom came in the room and said, "What are you doing?" Said, he's being punished. He's in time out. Well, Grandpa didn't know what to do. He really didn't. He didn't, you know, I mean, he couldn't disobey Mom. The baby was being punished. She was teaching him a lesson. But he wasn't going to sit down there and ignore that little grandbaby crying either. And so he thought for just a minute, and guess what he did? He walked over and he got in the pen with the baby.
Yeah, that'll work.
He got in the pen and he said, "Where you are, that's where I'll be."
Yeah.
Now when we're in our mess,
yeah,
that we've created ourselves, that's the kind of God we serve.
Yes, amen.
He'll just get right in your mess with you.
Yeah, he will.
And He'll bring you out of the mess.
Sure.
He'll lead you out of the mess.
Amen.
He'll lift you out of the mess if He has to. But He'll get you out of the mess.
Yeah.
But you got to put your faith and your trust in Him. You got to believe in Him. You got to realize that He is who He says He is. That He can do what He says He can do.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I serve a God that's a miracle-working God. I really do. He took care of this woman that had the issue of blood, and you know, and met her needs. And then He did something that He did nowhere else in the Bible. Nowhere else in God's Word. He spoke to her, and He called her daughter. Called her daughter. Nowhere else in the Word of God does Jesus refer to a woman as daughter. Now, I believe that He did that so she would know that she was a part of His family. You see, He not only healed her physically, He healed her spiritually. He met her needs, whatever they were, He met her needs. And she left as a changed person. I tell you what, my God's able.
Amen.
My God is able. Hey, that's what King Darius said. He said, "Is your God able to bring you out of the lion's den? My God's able. My God's proved it time and time and time again in my life that He's able. He's able." I believe my Bible tells me that He's able to save to the uttermost. Able to save to the... Just think about it. He's able to change lives. That's what the Scripture says. He can change your life. He can change who you are. He's able to fill your heart. My God's able to fill your heart with joy. I don't care where the stock market's at today. I don't care what the doctor tells you. I don't care what the lawyer tells you. It doesn't make a bit of difference. My God's able to fill your heart with joy. In spite... Whoever told a child of God that they had to live under the circumstances to begin with?
Amen.
You ever ask somebody how they're doing and they say, "Well, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too bad." Well, you can live under the circumstances if you want to. I choose not to. I choose to mount up with wings like an eagle. I choose to run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I choose God, brother. I choose His side. We used to choose up teams when I was in grade school. You know what? Have you ever been the last one picked?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really want him, but I'll take him.
Yeah.
Don't want him on my side, but I'll take him. You know what? God will pick you first if you'll just let Him.
That's good.
God will pick you first If you're not on His side, God's looking for you to choose a side tonight. If you'll just let Him, you'll be His first pick. First choice. First one He'll come to. First one He'll grab. First one He'll hold. First one He'll just wrap up in His loving arms and just love on you like you've never been loved on before. Oh, my God's able. He's able to. He's able to use you. He's able to keep His promises. I mean, Peter tells us that. His precious promises. God, you know, they had this big movement going years ago about promise keepers. I know the promise keeper. It wasn't none of those guys. Wasn't none of that stuff garbage that was going on. The promise keeper is the author of this book. He's the one that keeps all His promises, and He'll keep His promises to you. He's able to make all grace abound. My God's able. Make all grace abound. Boy, thank you, Lord. I don't know why God's popping this stuff into my head, but He's able to make all grace abound. I read the story about the guy that bought a milk cow. He was a city guy. And he moved into the country, and he wanted fresh milk, so he bought a milk cow. And so a little bit of time went on, a few weeks, and the cow quit giving milk. So he went down to the storekeeper where he bought the cow, and he said, "That cow quit giving milk. I don't know what's wrong." And the storekeeper said, "Well, have you been milking her every day?" And the guy said, "Well, yes and no." He said, "If I'm just going to have a bowl of cereal, I'll just go out and get enough milk for my cereal, and then I'll let her keep the rest of it. And then if I want a quart so I can have some for supper, I want to put it in the refrigerator and get cold, I'll just take a quart and I'll just leave the rest of it and I'll get it later, you know." And the guy said, "Well, that's the whole problem." He said, "You can't have a milk cow if you don't milk her every day. She'll quit giving milk."
Right.
It's the same way with grace. You don't want to take just a little bit here and a little bit there. You want to take all you can get, every chance you get. Those promises, you want to claim every promise that you can. Don't just claim one here and there. Just don't claim one when you get in a mess. Don't claim one just when you get in trouble. But claim every promise, every day, every time that you get the opportunity. And that way they'll just keep coming.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just keep coming. Grace, God's grace is abundant grace. But you need to utilize it. You need to take advantage of it. Use it every opportunity that you get. Then God's able to build you up. If He can make all grace abound, He's able to build you up. We're pretty good at tearing each other down, ain't we? But it's good to have a God that's able to build you up and make you stand. Having done all to stand.
Yeah.
Brother, I repeat myself, and I'm going to quit apologizing for it, but I want to live my life. I want to go out on 2 feet standing.
Yeah.
I do. I want to live my life in such a manner that when I die that the devil wipes his forehead and says, "Woo, I'm glad he's gone."
Yeah. Yeah.
God is able to make you stand. When all the world's against you, when everything else is against you, God is able to make you stand. God is able. Just listen to this. If you don't think He's a miracle-working God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I got a pretty vivid imagination sometimes. I can think about a lot of things. But the thing is, they're not things that I need. They're not things that I need. They're just things that I think about. But my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we have. God, have you prayed for God just to save one soul this week?
Yeah.
Why not ask Him to save a dozen?
Right.
Have you prayed for God to renew your commitment this week? Why not ask Him to do it every week?
Yes,
abundantly above all that we can ask. That's the God. He's a miracle-working God. We put Him in a box.
Yes.
We put God in a box. And limit Him and what He can do and how He can do it and the way we'll let Him do it and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you, I'm glad that He's bigger than any box that we can put Him in.
Yes, sir.
I really am.
Very good.
I'm glad that my God is able to keep that. And I said this last night, I think He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. I don't have to keep it. I couldn't keep it if I wanted to. But He can keep it. And not only can He keep it, but the Bible tells me that He can also present me faultless. Think about that. I mean, Dennis and faultless don't even go together. They're not even related. I mean, they're not even distant cousins. But He's able to present me faultless. Why, I tell you what, you ought to just reach back and let that get a hold of you a little bit.
Amen.
That He's faultless.
Yes.
Able to present us faultless.
Yes. Think about that.
If He's faultless, then He is, and we know He is. And if we're in Him, we're as faultless as He is.
Yes. Think about that.
His holiness should be... You know what the Bible says about holiness? Without holiness, you'll not see God.
Right.
You know what the Bible says about witnessing? You're either gathering together or you're scattering abroad.
Yes, amen.
One of the two.
Right.
One of the two.
That is right.
You're either gathering in or you're scattering abroad. You see, just like old Daniel over in the lion's den when King Darius went down and said, "Is your God able?" He was waiting to see if Daniel... The world is watching us, folks.
Oh, yeah.
They're watching us. So when we go through that valley, so when we go through that turmoil, so when they go through that trial, you know, we're worshiping a God that we can't see, and they don't understand that. But they're watching us to see if our God is able to bring us through whatever it is we're going through.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Brother, that's why you need to stand strong in the Lord.
Yes.
That's why you need to be serious about living the Christian life. My God's a miracle-working God. But you have to surrender yourself to Him and let Him work some miracles in your life. And like I said, the first miracle is when He saves you. And then from there, it just goes on and on. But God's able, the Bible says in Jude chapter... Which chapter? I every time I start to reference Jude, I say Jude chapter... And then I realize that there's just one chapter. Chapter 24, Jude. Okay? That He's able to keep you from falling.
Yes. Yes.
Able to keep you from falling. If you lean on Him. If you lean on Him. I can't even... What's it say? I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You got to lean on Him if He's going to keep you from falling. If you're here and you don't know Him tonight, James said He's able to save your soul.
Yes. Amen.
He's able to save your soul.
Yes, amen.
Your soul.
Yes.
Do you know Him? Do you know Him?
Yes, sir.
But that's not all He says. I quoted part of this the other night. He's able to take you to heaven.
Yes, He is.
He's able to take you to heaven. He said He was. In the 14th chapter of John. Where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
He said, "I'll come and get you." He's not going to leave me here. I'm one of His. I know His voice. We sing that old song, "Jesus loves me, this I know."
Yes.
"Jesus knows me, this I love."
Yes. That's good. That's
"Jesus good. Knows me, this I love."
Oh,
yeah, and you know, just absolutely. You know, I'm glad that we've talked quite a bit this week between testimonies and preaching and singing and what have you about your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I was thinking this afternoon, I had been on my computer typing out a few notes, and I thought, you know, every once in a while you'll get this message that you've got a virus. I'm glad there are no viruses in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, they some people write these viruses and they send them out and they hold your computer hostage, is what I've read, what I've heard about. And I'm glad there's no viruses in heaven to infect the Lamb's Book of Life. It's virus proof. It's virus proof. Nobody's going to mess with it. None whatsoever. How are you living your Christian life? I mean, people are watching you just like I talked about a minute ago. Martin Luther, you know who Martin Luther was?
Yes.
Martin Luther went through a dark period in his life. And he didn't know what God was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. And he was really depressed. 3 days went by. 3 days went by and he was just in a funk. He was just out of it. And his wife come down on the third day and she had on her mourning clothes, dressed all in black with a veil on. And Martin Luther looked at his wife and he said, "Who died?" And she said, "God." And he got on to her and he said, "You know that's not true." He said, "You know God can't die. He's God." And his wife said, "Then act like it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Quit acting like God's dead.
Yeah. That's good.
Quit acting like God's dead.
Yeah, that's good.
Movie was out a few years ago, probably more than a few years ago. I couldn't even tell you the last movie I saw. But anyhow, the movie came out about God is dead. And, and then all these other movies come out. But folks, I'm thankful tonight that I serve a miracle working God. He is still working miracles in my life. Now, I'm almost finished, but I'm not ready to quit yet, okay? You need to belong. You need to believe. And you need to have a place to call home. Okay? You really do. In the church house. The church house is important. It really is. You can't overemphasize the importance of the church house. It's here that you become a part of the body of Christ. Where you get saved, where you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and become a part of the body of Christ. And it's here that you have a means to stay connected to God. Stay connected to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, if it wasn't for this building, if it wasn't for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, how often would you all see each other? So this is a place that God gives us to stay connected. It's more than a social club. It's more than just a place to catch up on all the latest news or gossip or whatever it may be. You need the church, and the church needs you. You need to be an active part of this church. Now, Mark didn't tell me to say any of this. This is where... Now, I'm speaking theologically, okay? This is where the sick find healing. This is where the dying find life. This is where the saved people lift up their voices in testimony and praise to an almighty, all-deserving God. This is the place that God tells us to gather together. This is a place where you can belong. That you can be a part of. That you can find a place of ministry. A place to contribute. A place to give. It's a place where you can get filled up in order to go out and face the world. A place where you can learn to believe in Jesus Christ by putting your faith and your trust in Him. That's called believing. And then belonging is where you become a part of this family. Normally that would be by baptism or moving your church letter or membership from another church somewhere. And folks, that's important stuff. Sometimes we don't emphasize it enough. But I've always said, If you're going to put your feet under the table, you ought to be a part of the family.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Now, do you get that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
If you're going to put your feet under the table, if this is where you're going to feed, if this is where you're going to get fed the Word of God, if this is where you're going to worship, if this is where you're going to praise and pray and minister together, then you need to be a part of the family.
Yes, amen.
And not just a visitor. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying if you're here and you don't have a church home, you need one.
Yes.
And you won't find a better one than this one right here.
Amen.
You won't find a better one than this right here. If you're here and you've saved and you've never been baptized, you need to be obedient to the next step in the Christian life. And the next step of obedience is baptism.
Yes. Amen.
You don't get baptized to go to heaven. You don't get baptized to wash your sins away. You get baptized because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you're setting an example before the world that you've died to sin, being buried in a watery grave, and raised to walk in the newness of life. In a nutshell. That's what it all boils down to. And if you've never been baptized, you ought to talk to Pastor Mark about that. You really should. You should seriously. You can't skip steps in the Christian life. God won't let you skip steps. Salvation first, baptism next, service next. You can't go from salvation to service, not the way God wants you to, without going through baptism.
Amen.
I maybe should have asked before I said all this stuff, but it's what I believe anyway. And I don't think we're too far off in what we believe. This is not only the place of believing, this is the place of belonging, but it's also the place of becoming.
That's good.
Becoming everything that God wants us to be.
Amen.
And you do that through being here every time the church doors are open. That's how you become all that God would have you to be. And God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Yeah,
having always having all sufficiency in all good things.
Yeah.
Three times he emphasizes always and all. Continually, over and over and over again. My God's a record keeper.
Amen.
I think every time you pray, God keeps a record.
Yes.
The Bible tells us every time you shed a tear, if it's a tear shed for the right reason, that God's got a bottle of remembrance, a bottle that He puts it in. I believe every time that you do a good work out of the kindness of your heart to help somebody else, God remembers it. I believe He's got books full of stuff in heaven.
Yeah.
See, there's more, like somebody said, either here this week or last week, there's more than one book in heaven. Because God's a record keeper. He's a record keeper. And there ain't going to be no getting around the record. That's just all there is to it. We need to become more like Christ. You know, we really do. Whatever it takes. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask and think. My God's a miracle working God. Do you need a miracle in your life? Oh, I've seen miracles. I've seen them in the church house. I've seen them in the hospital. I've seen them in a multitude of places. Most of you have too, one way, shape, form, or another. And that's all just because He's a miracle-working God. That's what He does. He delights. He delights in it. Think about it tonight. And again, oh, if I could only sing, and the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Has He saved you?
Yes, yes.
Are you saved tonight?
Yes, yes.
Are you a child of the King?
Yes, yes.
Are you glad of it?
Yes, yes.
Are you happy you're going to heaven?
Yes, yes.
Amen. Yeah, it's about time we wake up a little bit.
Yes,
He is worthy to be praised.
Yes, sir.
Not just in the good times, but all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
But you know what I want tonight? I want you, if you're here and you don't know my Savior, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard He loves you and that He will abide till the end? How about it tonight? You see, why would I spend all my preaching time tonight talking about all this stuff? Because I would like to see you know my Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? Have you heard that He loves you? He wants you to be a part of His family. Clark, find us a song, would you? Cheryl? Let's get ready to sing. And I'll tell you what, church. I'll tell you what let's do tonight. Y'all's about to come alive there just a little bit ago. You come real close to waking up.
Yeah.
But if you're really thankful to be a child of God, if you're really thankful that God has blessed you, your home, your life, your children, your husband, your wife, your job, whatever it is, tonight would be a really good time for you to finally get out of your seat and come and thank the Lord.
Yeah.
So that you don't leave the way you came.
Amen.
Just taking everything for granted. That just because God has blessed you in the past, don't assume He's going to bless you in the future. You need to seek His face. Will you do it tonight? Will you come? And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, while all these people are praying, if you just come up and get my attention, I'll be glad to pray with you. I absolutely will be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to get right down here on the floor, take the old Bible and show you how you can be saved. While people are praying, if you'd like to be saved right where you're sitting, if you raise your hand, I'll come back there and I'll sit down beside of you. I'll sit down beside of you. We'll talk about what God wants to do in your life.